Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and then we're going to skip to verse 13. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, the same one who inspired these words written by the Apostle Paul, would you inspire our hearing of these words in this place? And as you do, would you help us to see what it is that you want us to see, and so that you might help us be who it is that you want us to be, and so you might help us do what it is that you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we come to the tail end of the journey we've been taking all summer so far into the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we finish up the sermon series, my prayer is that we're really just at the beginning. That we're really just beginning to see in our lives that we are partnering with the Holy Spirit on a whole new level. On a whole new level in the way that we pray, in our growing up together, in our wilderness experiences, in the ways that we live out our calling to be witnesses in this world. I pray that we are just now getting to know Him more intimately as that great breath of life, that fire of passion deep in our bones, that filling water that nourishes us and flows out from us to touch others. I pray that over the past few weeks, you've been pulling back that wrapping paper if you were here the first week, letting this gift out of the box at least a little bit at a time, that you've been giving the Spirit a little more space, a little more freedom, a little more voice in your life to absolutely consume you. And today we wrap up the series by looking at what is perhaps the Spirit's greatest gift to us. And it's found right there in Galatians 5, this fruit of the Spirit. And you see, the Spirit of God, first and foremost, is a Spirit that is absolutely passionate about our freedom. Galatians 5, verse 1 said, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." In other words, Paul says, you have been set free from all the things that keep you from being fully alive in Christ, fully who you were created to be. He says, so go out and be free and live like it, like who you really are. Galatians 5, 13 and 14, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law summed up in the single command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And this he's saying, you're free. You're free from that exhausting pursuit of self-interest, that pursuit of always having to be number one, of always having to be heard, always having to be applauded. You're free from the fear of being unappreciated. You're free from the law, and you're free from the self. You're free from a life that is wasted on trying to earn your way to God, on trying to earn your approval in the eyes of others. He says, you are free. That's what the Spirit frees us from. But what does he free us for? Simply put, Paul would say he frees us to live out the life that Christ has called and created us to live. Christ has set you free, Paul says, for faith and righteousness and love in verses 5 and 6. He says Christ has set us free to run the race marked out for us in this life and to run that race well in verse 7. He says that means that all those things that Christ said about us as he walked this earth, the Spirit sets us free to actually see these hopes in Christ's hearts for us become realities in us, and not just in heaven, but yes, right here and right now. What were the things on Christ's heart for us as he walked this earth? He talks about us being light. And so that must mean that in the Spirit, there is actually freedom to actually be light in the world. A people no longer hindered or defined by our places of shame and regret and failure. He says we are free to be the salt of the earth, to add flavor and life to all that we do, no longer held back by insecurities and fears that tell us we simply aren't interesting enough or talented enough or smart enough or read enough or traveled enough to be of any interest to this world. He says we are free to store up treasures in God's kingdom where rust and moth do not destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. He says we are free to invest in the things that last, things like relationships and love and worship and sacrifice. And we are free to not give a care to the things that pass away as quickly as our last breath. We are free. The Spirit makes us free to be a people who don't have to try at every turn to avoid the cross. Free to be a people who don't simply follow Christ at a distance as admirers and onlookers, but instead we are free to be a people walking right next to Christ, unafraid, carrying that cross even when it's costly and uncomfortable. He frees us to be a people who don't have to fear being misunderstood or mistreated, a people unashamed of the gospel, undeterred by personal threats and obstacles that would keep us from absolute faithfulness to Jesus Christ and to Christ alone. We are free. He frees us to be a people known by our love. A people free to move toward those who are different and intimidating and broken and messy. We are free to be a people who don't forward on chain emails about Muslims or Republicans or Democrats, but instead we choose to befriend them. Amen. A people who don't move across town from the poor, but set up a table in our midst for them. A people not competing with our brother and sister churches around town, but celebrate the Spirit who's also at work in them. He frees us from tiny, insignificant dreams of white picket fences and leisurely retirements and ushers us into these great, big dreams of reconciliation between races, of justice for the oppressed, of Scripture being translated into the languages of people who have never heard, of orphans being adopted, of widows being embraced, dreams of a church fully alive, relevant, and on fire in this world. He frees us to dream these kind of dreams. He frees us not to farm out the big dreams to the big wigs, but to accept the fact that as children of the living God and heirs of his kingdom, we are the big wigs. We are a big deal, a really big deal. And we have a heck of a lot to live for. And so he frees us to get busy living, whether we are 25 or 85, to know that we are never too young or too old to be fully alive, to be called, to be free. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. The Holy Spirit is passionate for freedom. And Paul is very clear here. He says, now don't get carried away. This is not just freedom to go out and do whatever it is that you want to do in the world. He says, but it's freedom to be who you were created to be. That's real freedom. And so until Christ has all of us, we are not yet free. Because Christ alone is life, and in Christ alone we are who the Father imagines and hopes we can be. And isn't that what we long for as well? To be the daughters that our Father dreams of. To be the sons that our Father longs for. The Spirit makes us free to be these kind of children of God in this world, right here and right now. So how do I know if I'm doing it, we ask? How do I know if I'm living in the freedom of the Spirit or if I'm giving in to the enslavement of the law and the flesh that Paul warns about? How do I read the signs of my life as a litmus test of sorts to help me know where I'm receiving the gift of freedom that the Spirit freely gives to me? Paul fleshes that out pretty clearly, no pun intended, but he fleshes it out with this picture of those who are enslaved to the flesh versus those who are free in the Spirit. There in verses 19 to 21, Paul paints a picture of those who are still enslaved to the flesh. He says the works of the flesh are obvious. He calls them works. Notice that. They are fornication, impurity. These two things, sexual immorality, acts that destroy families and relationships and commitments, acts that use others for our own selfish pleasure and gain. The works of the flesh, he says, idolatry, sorcery, these two together, these things of worshiping other gods and seeking other powers to get ahead in the world. Now, this could be Baal, or it could be Zeus, or it could be wealth, or comfort, or status. He says, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, all of these things together, the kind of things that break apart a community as members seek out their own wills and their own egos above the interests and the needs of others among them. The works of the flesh, he goes on, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, where we settle for a moment's pleasure and lose sight of a long-term calling to holiness and real abundant life in Christ. And so as we consider our lives today and where it is that the flesh still has a hold on us, we take a moment this morning to search our own hearts. And before we move on to the fruit of the Spirit, we've got to first ask ourselves, where am I still living in slavery to things that Christ freed me from long ago? Where am I still holding the Spirit at arm's length, preferring to have it my own way than to actually give him full reign? Where am I settling in my life for less than who God longs for me to be? In your life this morning, between you and God, are there places of sexual immorality, of lust or infidelity, of seeing men or women as objects of pleasure rather than sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, of compromising commitment for selfish gain? What about idolatry? Those things in my life that I hold on to tighter than I cling to God. Those things that if for some crazy reason God asked me to give it up to him, I wonder if I actually could or would. Your home, perhaps. The one that you've spent years getting to be just like you like it. Our comfort and safety and health. What we've worked hard to establish through a nice cushion fund, an alarm system, insurance, and finding the best doctors in the area. Our family. Well, now he would never ask us for that. So it's all hypothetical, right? But is it? Because when their needs come before his heart, his tug, his calling, is it really hypothetical? Idolatry. Sometimes we know it better than we even want to admit. Enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy. Those places where we set ourselves over and against another. Where we convince ourselves that we're right and they're wrong. That we're righteous and they're not. That we're loving and they're hateful. We're genuine and they're fake. Those places in our lives where we avoid and push another away because they talk too much, where they smack too loudly, where they need too much, where they're too worldly or too flaky or too beautiful or too smart or too arrogant or too holy or too successful or too wealthy or too messy or too anything that makes us think there's good reason to excuse my invitation to extend love to them. In those places, we are the ones living as slaves because we are the ones limiting what God has called us to do and who God has called us to be. Reconcilers, ambassadors of his kingdom, fishers of men, the body of Christ. Think of your life. Which relationships this morning come to mind when you think of distance? Brokenness, jealousy, quarrels, unresolved conflict, anger. Paul would tell us, my friends, these are red flags from the Spirit that you're not yet free in those places. And can you hear him whisper into your heart this morning, I've called you to freedom from that mess. I've made it possible for you to be the initiator of love and peace and reconciliation, even with that one, especially with that one. Be an agent of life and freedom. Hear the Spirit say, trust me, it's better that way. My Spirit in you, he won't let you settle for less. He wants you to be free to love well. With the Spirit in us, we are free from the works of the flesh. We are empowered to live another way by the Spirit pouring out his fruit everywhere we go. In everything we say, in everything we do. Imagine that. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul says there is no law against these things. And it makes sense, for who needs to tell someone full of love not to go out and murder? You don't need a law for that person. Who needs to tell someone full of faithfulness not to step out on a commitment? Who needs to tell someone full of gentleness to watch how they speak to others? They don't need to hear that. They're already full of life. Those who belong to Christ have already been crucified to the flesh, and they are free to live just as Christ has created them to live. And before we start putting our heads down and feeling this burden of, I'm not making the cut, my friends, notice this language that Paul uses for this fruit of the Spirit. That is the language of fruit. The first list gives us the works of the flesh. And what are works but things that we muster up in our own power? Fruit is something different altogether. It's something natural. It's something we receive, not something we create. fruit in all the New Testament is the sign of something deep within. Jesus said that a tree would be known by its fruits. In other words, he says, what is at the core of the tree would show when it was time for it to come to bud. Jesus curses a fig tree that gives off the impression of having fruit because when he came near it, it had none. And he says, that is false advertising. The lack of fruit showed that it was failing to be what it was created to be. John 15, one of the most beautiful passages about fruit, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. What comes from your life shows who's forming you, who it is that's calling the shots deep inside of you. Fruit is a picture of something deep within. It's not something we have to work harder to attain. When we approach it that way, we just get frustrated with this whole fruit of the Spirit passage. We read this great list and we pick one or two things that we really need to work on today. And so we try really hard to have more self-control. And so we decided we're going to swear off sugar and we're going to be determined to get up at 5 a.m. and exercise. And just as we start getting that down, we lose our joy because we're not eating sugar and we're getting up at 5 a.m. to exercise. And then we become grouchy. So now we got to work on joy. And sometimes that just starts feeling kind of phony. And so then we ask God to help us be patient and to help us be patient now. And we try out this whole gentleness bit and it goes really well until someone cuts us off in traffic. And then we're back to square one. Back at self-control. We can't do it. It's frustrating and it should be. Because these are fruits. They are not works. These are not goals to attain on our own. These are manifestations of a deeper reality, of a deeper life, of something else going on inside of us. Take a look at your life this morning. Where do you see pockets of love? True, selfless love. That's the Holy Spirit alive in you. That you even desire that, that you have given what it takes over the long haul to keep that love alive. That is the Spirit deep inside of you. And I imagine there's a heck of a lot of that that you didn't do on your own. Think of the pockets of joy. Where are you just simply overcome with it? Maybe even at times that you shouldn't be. That's the Holy Spirit alive in you. Where do you see peace? In these chaotic times when the news tells you to feel anything but peace, where do you experience it? Patience. Has it grown in you over the years? Kindness, goodness, or generosity, do you see those? Not when you're trying really hard to be nice, but sometimes just as this natural outpouring of who you are becoming. Gosh, I see these things in so many of you. I hope you see it in yourself. Faithfulness. Where have you stuck to commitments to God and others even when it got tough? Why didn't you walk away? Could it be the Spirit alive in you, giving you the freedom even to stay? Gentleness. Do you see it? Sometimes at least. Self-control. Those things you do routinely just because it's the right thing to do, even if you don't much like it at all. Why do you do that? Again and again. What makes you even desire it? Could it be the Holy Spirit alive in you? And could it be that in these places, that is exactly where you would say you have tasted the freedom to be who you were created to be? In these places, you've been led by the Spirit. These are the places where you have found life. Are they not? Finally, Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. If He is in you, and if you claim God as your God, Christ as your Savior, the Spirit as your guide, then Paul says, by gosh, let Him be your God and your Savior and your guide. How do we do that? By just trying to be better? By working harder on obtaining these fruits, these things He wants from us? No, he would say, these are not ours to control or muster up. Remember John 15 again. It tells us how fruit works in the life of believers. Jesus says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Want fruit? Want freedom? You want to be who God imagines you can be? Jesus would simply say, abide. 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 All of those fruits and my desire for them summed up in one word, abide. Draw near to the Father. Give Him permission to do some pruning. Draw near to the Spirit. Let Him water your weary soul. Draw near to the Savior. Let Him hear your confession of sin and hear Him as He says, you are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Those places that you identified where the flesh is still in control, I encourage you, find some time today to abide in the Spirit's love, to hear what it is He has to say about that. Find a journal in some quiet place. Go for a prayer walk in the woods. Read John 15 over and over and over and over again until you get it. Sit in silence until your healing has come. Whatever it takes to abide, abide. Simply make your life a home for Christ, and my friends, freedom will be yours. Life, yours in abundance. Fruit from the Spirit flowing out of all you do, not because you got busy working on the fruit, but because you got busy abiding, hanging out with Jesus whenever you could. The more we hang out with Him, the more we're going to be like Him. It's just that simple. So this week, let us get busy abiding. Let us be a people who engage in an intimate, ongoing, honest relationship with our God. And my friends, our freedom will come, because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So let us live by the Spirit. And don't gratify the desires of the flesh. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is who we are. This is how we're called to live on this earth. How are we going to get there? Abide. 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 Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, that you want to make your home with us is remarkable, a truth too big for me to even understand. You know my flesh. You know the struggles. You know the places that I choose myself over you day in and day out, and yet you still stand at the door and knock and say that you want to come and live in me. Thank you for loving me, for loving us like that. And thank you that in you, in your presence, in our growing life and relationship with you, you free us day by day to be who it is you've created us to be. We've heard that when the Spirit's fully alive in us, we will be a people who simply are pouring out these things of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We've heard it. And our inclination is to get busy trying to make this happen. Help us rest this morning in your invitation to quit working so hard to check off the boxes of the fruits and to simply hang out with you and just watch as our hearts become as your own. Do your work in us, we pray. Make us free to live, we pray. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.